What we want to do for Parshas Kisavo is look at the last half of Perek Chavav. Parshas Kisavo starts in Perek Chavav, and you'll see a section from Pasuk Tezayin. This is after the mitzvah of Vidui Maisers, up until the end of chapter Chavav. That's from Pasuk Tezayin until Pasuk Yutes. And that continues in Perek Chav Zayin. And that takes us until Pasuk Beis. Now I'm teaching Chumash. It's a Chumash class, a Parashah Shir.
Okay.
All right, can we...
Okay.
So what is the subject of this parasha? What's the theme of this parasha that begins at the end of Perek Chavav with Pasuk Tes Zayin? Hayom hazeh Hashem Elokecha mitzavcha lasos es hachukim ha'elu ves ha'mishpatim v'shamarta v'asiso sam b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha. So the Ramban, and you'll have that on your page, elaborates on this. And just to remind you, the Ramban says that this day was the day in which Moshe Rabbeinu was mashlim, he completed his Bir HaTorah. Meaning the Bir HaTorah, which began at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, ends now in Parshas Ki Tovo. And what the Ramban is saying, he's establishing something very important. He says, after Moshe Rabbeinu was mashlim levayer es haTorah ulechadesh kol haMitzvos. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu adds new mitzvos and he clarifies the old mitzvos that were given, and he presents specifics of all the mitzvos. Now the Ramban says, what does Klal Yisrael do? Klal Yisrael, kibaltem aleichem kol haTorah kula. You now have accepted upon yourself the entire Torah. Where does the Ramban see in this parsha that Klal Yisrael accepted upon themselves the Torah? That's in Pasuk Chav Zayin. Take a look at Pasuk Chav Zayin. I'm sorry, Pasuk Yud Zayin. The Pasuk says, Es Hashem hemarta hayom. Hemarta means you have chosen Hashem and you have accepted upon yourself Hashem exclusively. Exclusive means the exclusion of any other God. Lios l'chol Elokim l'leches bidrochav l'shmar chukah mishpotah mishpotah l'shmar b'kolo. The Ramban goes through every single one of these words, and we've seen this in the past, and he tells you what exactly they accepted upon themselves and committed themselves to the entire Torah. And as a result, that's Pasuk Yud Zayin, comes Pasuk Yud Ches. What happens in Pasuk Yud Ches? Vashem hemir chayom. And now, in a reciprocal way, Hashem chooses you, Leo slowly Am Segula. You are now His Am Segula. So again, in Pasuk Yud Zayin, we have Es Hashem hemarta hayom. On this day in which Moshe Rabbeinu completes the process of presenting the entire Torah to Klal Yisrael, now you have accepted upon yourselves Hashem. And Ramban emphasizes this. He says, Hine gidaltem Hashem v'romamtem oso shiyahu levado lachem lelokim. And then the Ramban adds another few words. He says, Lo sodu bekel acher klal. And it's very interesting that the Ramban integrates here at this point the fact that Klal Yisrael will never accept another God. And that sort of reflects on what we saw at the beginning of this parasha. If you remember back in Pasuk Tet Zayin, Hayom hazeh Hashem Elokecha mitzavcha la'asos achukim ha'elav es mishpat v'shmarta la'asosam, and then it says v'asisosam b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. That phrase of b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha reflects the intense devotion and dedication to Hashem, and the intense profound love for Hashem of Klal Yisrael, b'chol levavchem u'b'chol nafshechem, is what leads up to Lo sodu bekel ach be'el acher klal. You are so dedicated to this relationship, to this commitment to Hashem, to the exclusion of any other relationship whatsoever. So that's what the Rabban is saying. Kibaltem aleichem kol haTorah bepirusheh bedikdukeh bechidusheh. And the Rabban says that this Kabbalah Satorah is a second Kabbalah Satorah in addition to the first Kabbalah Satorah, which took place when? At Har Sinai. And there Hashem responded by calling the people of Israel the Am Segula, Mamleches Kodim. And now there's a second Kabbalah Satorah. And the Ramban says that this second Kabbalah Satorah here, at the culmination of Bir HaTorah of Moshe Rabbeinu, has to take place in front of all of Klal Yisrael. That's what the Torah tells us already at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, when it says, Asher Diber Moshe El Kol Yisrael, Vayikra Moshe El Kol Yisrael, and the Ramban says, Ki Bir HaTorah V'Tashlem HaMitzvos Tzarech Lios B'Maimad Kol Yisrael Kasher Hoya B'Matan Torah. Just like in Matan Torah at Har Sinai, it was Kol Yisrael, and Bnei Yisrael accepted the Torah. Now there's another acceptance of the Torah that is similar to Har Sinai, in which the entire people are there to accept the Torah. And if you remember last time, we discussed that there are two Torahs. There's Torah Shebichsav and there's Torah Shebal Peh. There was a bris on Torah Shebichsav, there was a bris on Torah Shebal Peh. This is the Kabbalah HaTorah here in Parshas Ki Tovo at the culmination of the Bir HaTorah. And that's going to be a profound B'chol levavchem, b'chol nafshechem, such that now lo sodu b'kel acher li'olam. They will never accept upon themselves another God. That's how profound the Kabbalah is. All this takes us to the beginning of Perek Chav Zayin. And here in the beginning of Perek Chav Zayin, it says, Vayitzav Moshe v'ziknei Yisrael es ha'om lemar shomar es kol ha'mitzvah asher anochi mitzaveh eschem hayom. What's going on now? Is this a continuation of what we saw before? And take a look at the Ramban. The Ramban says, Ki achrei, this is the next to last source on your page one, Ki achrei shehishlin Moshe dvarav, after Moshe completed his presentation, Tzival is Kanim. Moshe now turns to his Kanim. And what does he tell them? She yedabru gam heim imo. They too should speak to the people of Israel. V'yazhiru ba'am lishmar kol ha-mitzvos. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to teach the mitzvahs, and then the Zakenim are going to exhort the Jewish people to follow the mitzvahs. Why? Ki chol am, every nation, holeh patzas kenov. They accept the guidance of their elders. And therefore the elders would be able to impress upon Klal Yisrael and inspire them to dedicate themselves to the fulfillment of the mitzvahs that were taught by Moshe Rabbeinu. So again, it's Moshe Rabbeinu who's teaching the Torah, and it's these Kanim that are going to add their voice in order to exhort the people to heed all that Moshe taught them. And that's the pasuk here, Vayitzav Moshe v'ziknei Yisrael sa'om lemar, and this Kanim would tell them, Shomer es kol mitzvah. And then the Rabban asks himself, but what does it say? Shomer es kol mitzvah, this is a Kanim talking to Klal Yisrael. Then it says, Asher anochi mitzav eschem hayom. It doesn't make sense to say anochi mitzav eschem hayom, because we're talking about this Kanim. Anochi is a reference to Moshe. Says the Ramban, Uksiv asher anochi mitzav eschem v'lo anachnu. The word anochi in singular clearly indicates Moshe Rabbeinu. Had it referred to this Kanim, then it would have said anachnu in plural. This Kanim is in plural. Ki ikar hadibur b'lemoshe. Because primarily it's Moshe who's speaking. So when it says asher mitzaveh eschem hayom, it means Moshe's commanding you in the mitzvos. Vas Kanim, what is the purpose and the role of this Kanim? Yarimu kolam, they add their voice, lemar la'am, to tell the people, shimu vahazinu viasu. They add a certain strength, and they say to the people to listen and to heed and to do whatever Moshe taught them. So in other words, according to the Ramban, it's clear that the beginning of Perek Chav Zayin is a continuation of what came before. After Moshe Rabbeinu added all the mitzvot and the details, the clarifications, the specifics of all the commandments, now, after the Hishlim Bir HaTorah, now B'maimad Kol Yisrael, there was like another Matan Torah, another Kabbalah HaTorah, and Moshe Rabbeinu calls upon this Kanim to give extra strength by adding their voice to impress upon Klal Yisrael how important it is for them to observe the Torah. But now, Rabbosai, I want to fast forward here in Perikov Zion to Psukim Tes and Yud. Vayidaber Moshe Vakonim Halavim El Kol Yisrael Lemar Haskes Ushma Yisrael Hayom Azeh Niyesalam LaShem Elokecha V'shamata B'kol HaShem Elokecha V'asisa Es Kol Mitzvosav V'es Kol Chukov Asher Enochi Mitzavcha Hayom. This is very strange. This sounds like an absolute repetition of what we have before. Let's look at the Ramban. The Ramban says, "V'chein v'yedaber Moshe v'akonim alavim al kol Yisrael ki omru akonim la'am." The Ramban now splits this pasuk test into two. He says the following: the first part of the pasuk, which says "Haskes Ushma Yisrael," that was said by the Kohanim. Moshe Amar, and then Moshe said the end of the pasuk, "Hayom hazeh niyesa la'am." That's how the Ramban splits up the pasuk into two. But now Rabbo say, let's look at this pasuk. If the first part of the pasuk Haskesu Shema Yisrael is recited by the Kohanim, which means the Talmid HaChachamim, the Zkenim, the elders, then it's an exact repetition of what we saw in pasuk Aleph in the same chapter. Vayitzav Moshe v'zikni Yisrael seyom l'shomer ha-mitzvah. Again, it's a repetition. And then the second half of this pasuk, which is said by Moshe Rabbeinu according to the Ramban, Hayom Azeh Niyesalam, well, that's exactly a repetition of what we had in pasuk Yudches. Vashem Hemircha Hayom Lioslo Liam Segula. Today, you've accepted the Torah, and Hashem has accepted you and designated you in a singular way to be His Am Segula. So what's the difference now between what happens here in Pasuk Tes and in Pasuk Yud and what we've already seen at the beginning of this whole section in Psukim Tes Zayin, Yud Zayin, and Yud Ches? Again, there's a double repetition here. I want to emphasize this. Number one, there's a repetition of the statement of Moshe Rabbeinu that we became a nation. On this day we became a nation. And number two, there's repetition of the azhara of the Zkenim, the strength and the exhortation of the Zkenim al divrei Moshe. Why the repetition? What's it all about? So, Rabbosai, what I want to do today, and this is the style of today's shiur, is to try to get a structural understanding of this parasha, to try to understand how this parasha divides up into parts. Because if there's a repetition here, it must be that this repetition is necessary. And really, there are two parshios here going on. There are two different sections. Let's see. In the first parsha, which begins Hashem Hemircha Hayom, that God, that's Pasuk Yud Ches, that Hashem has chosen you on this day, Lios Lo'am Segula, which culminates in Perek of Zayin Pasuk Aleph with Vayitzav, Moshe v'zikne Yisrael se'om le'me shomar, etc. These psukim come before what? What follows these psukim? If you take a look at Pasuk Beis through Pasuk Ches, what we have here is a mitzvah that is incumbent upon the people of Israel the moment they cross over the Yarden into Eretz Yisrael. Vakemosa lecha avonim gedolos. You'll set up large stones. Apostle Gimel kasavta aleim es kol divrei haTorah azos biavrecha. When you pass over the Yarden and enter into the land, you should inscribe on these stones Kol HaTorah, the entire Torah. Leman, and what's the goal of this whole ceremony, Asher Tovo El Aretz, so that you can inherit the land. The land Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein Lecha Eretz Avas Chol V'Dvash, Kasher Dibra Hashem Elokei Avosecha Loch. So this whole mitzvah of writing, inscribing the Torah on the Avonim when they enter into Eretz Yisrael is in order to somehow clinch their inheritance of the land of Israel as it was promised to the Avos, to the forefathers. Okay, so that's what I want to show you here. That when we talk about the first parasha of Hashem choosing Klal Yisrael, which is Hashem Emir Chayom in Pasuk Yud Ches in Perek Vav, that parasha is followed by the parasha of the mitzvah of writing the Sefer Torah. Not the Sefer Torah in the classical sense, but inscribing the Torah on the stones. And the Torah goes on to tell you exactly how to build the Mizbeach, and there'll be a day of Simcha. And then it says in Pasuk Ches, culminating this parasha, V'kasavta al havonim eskol divrei Torah zos be'er heid. Fine. Then we get to what I call Roman numeral number 2. This is already a new parsha. And it says, Pasuk Tes, Hashem commands the Kohanim, the Levim, to give Musar and Chizuk to Klal Yisrael, Haskeis Ushma Yisrael, etc. And then Moshe Rabbeinu declares, Hayom Hazeh Niyei Salam. And this is followed by what? What immediately follows, starting with Pasuk Yud Aleph, all the way Kamat to the end of Kisavo. The brachos and the klolos. You remember? So again, what I'm suggesting here is that there are two different experiences, so to speak, two different methods that are going on over here, two ofanim. There's first the designation of Klal Yisrael as the nation of Hashem, followed by the writing of the Torah on the Avonim after they cross the Yarden to inherit the land. And then we have section number 2, in which, beginning with Pasuk Tes, we have Hayom Hazeh Niyei Salam, followed by the brachos and the klolos. That seems to me to be the structure of what's going on here in Parshas Ki Tovo, with the exception of the first part of Parshas Ki Tovo, which has to do with Bikurim and Vidui Maaseh Hashem. Okay.
The use of the verb is related to the word in Arabic,
Emir. Oh, good. That's important.
Emir is a ruler.
That's important. Okay, good. So let's just try to understand this double structure and what it's all about. And why Moshe Rabbeinu needs again to repeat Hayom Hazeh Niyei Salam prior to the brachos and the klolos. Each parsha, each section is unique and requires its own statement, Hayom Hazeh Niyei Salam. The creation of the Jewish nation, the emergence of the people as a separate people. There are two modes, and each engenders its own statement. The first mode is Ksiva Sefer Torah Al-Avonim. The second mode is Brachos and Klolos. What's the difference between the two? Okay, can you give me just a few minutes and then we'll take questions? The famous Gemara in Shabbos, on Daf Peches, that at the time of Matan Torah, Kofa Haleim Har Kigigis. And the Gemara says, Mikan Modar Ravalo Raisa. Modar means when a person is coerced into a transaction, he writes a deed which is called the Shtar Modar. And he claims, you know what, this does not commit me, I'm not obligated, because this was done under coercion. Then the Gemara says, Hadar kiblua bimea hashverish, that the people of Israel accepted the Torah, but this time miratzon, mirtzonu matov, from their goodwill, at the time of Achashverish that sold from Haman. And that's the pasuk, kimu v'kiblu, kimu maishe kiblu kfar. So the Ramban has a kasha. And the Ramban is in Masechet Shabbos in his Chidushim there in Peches. And he asks the most basic question. Is this modah meaningful or is it meaningless? The Gemara seems to give you the impression that this modah is meaningful. So if it's meaningful, then why are Klal Yisrael suffering punishments for non-fulfillment of the Torah when the Torah was coerced upon them and they never accepted it willingly? Why, in the light of this meaningful modah, which has a chal shem, it's legally binding, are they held responsible for their averus? They never were committed to accept the Torah because it was all done under coercion, and they gave a modah. So take a look at the Ramban's answer. You'll see it on the bottom of your page 1. Hodi amrina and binyan agadata modah rabalo raisa mataris kvar kiblua bimea chashverosh. Kashali. He says, I don't understand. V'chima ha-kabbalah zu osa misofo shel olam l'tchiloso. Okay, fine. From the time of Achashverosh and on, they were committed mirtzonam, and there was bitul modah. The modah was completely null and void. What do you say?
Accepted before.
Oh, but that's what we want to come to. But let's go slowly here. The Ramban's answer is, I mean, we didn't get to Ramban's answer, but the Ramban's kasha is, if there is a modah, then up until the time of the bittul modah, meaning up until Achashverosh's time, when they accepted the Torah mirtzonam, lo hayu mitzuvim, they weren't commanded. There was no responsibility because there was a modah, and the modah cancels any sort of kabbalah. Is laman enshu? Why were they punished? V'im nomar mitnesha avral gzeras malkom, and if you'll tell me, well, they violated the decree of the king, im kein batal to modah zu, so the modah is meaningless. Obviously, if the modah is valid, then it means that they have no commitment to the melech. Okay, let's start with v'nira li. This is supposed to be the teretz of the Ramban. D'mitchila afal pisha hayolehem modah. In the first round, up until Achashverosh, even though they were moser modah, mikamakom lo nosan lehem ha'aretz ele kedeshi kaivu ha'torah. The Ramban says that the giving of Bnei Yisrael, the granting of a gift of Bnei Yisrael of the land of Israel, was with a condition. There was a condition built in. You want the land? You want to inherit it? Okay, I'll give it to you, gratis. But only under one condition, kadesh yikayimu haTorah. As long as you accept the Torah. And there are many parshios within the Torah that indicate that the land will vomit us forth if we don't fulfill the mitzvahs. And here the Ramban quotes an entire chapter in Tehillim, almost the entire chapter here. Vayiten lehem artzos goyim v'amel u'mim yirashu. And they will inherit these nations, meaning the seven nations that occupy Canaan. Bavur means on the condition, sheyishmu chukosav, chukav etorosav yinsoru. But, heim atzmam tchilo ikfu bedarva klal. When Hashem said, look, I'm willing to give you the land, but on condition that you observe the law, at this point they said, you know, we want the land. They didn't make this whole big to-do that we object and it's being coerced upon us. And therefore they said, with Ratzon, therefore, since they accepted Eretz Yisrael as a gift on this condition, when they violated the Torah, Amad HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands up, and he exiles them from the land because they no longer have rights to the land. Their entire right and claim to the land is predicated on the condition that they fulfill the mitzvahs. And they accepted that condition. Oh, then says the Ramban, so where is the modah? I mean, if you're telling me that God said, I'll make a condition, I'll give you the land only if, and they accepted that if, then there's no modah. There's nothing to nullify their commitment. Oh, when was the modah? Mishagol. After they went into Golus, at that moment in time, says the Ramban, that's when there was a modah. And he proves it from a pasuk in Yechezkel, Ha'olal Rucham Haya, This is all taking place at the time of the Golus. And the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin, Rabbi Yechezkel, Eved Shemachro Rabo Klum Yeshlo Olav. An Eved, a servant, is committed to fulfill the will of his master, but as long as he wasn't sold. If he gets sold, then the Rav, the Adon, no longer has control over him, and he, the Eved, is no longer committed to fulfill the will of his master. And that's a mashal. The nimshal is that as long as we lived in the land of Israel, okay, we were b'chinas avodim, and we as avodim were committed to serve our master and fulfill his will. Now we're no longer committed to the mitzvahs because you sold us down the river. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kicked us out of the land. That's the modah. But Rabosai, this Ramban, I think, needs clarification. Because although the Ramban might explain the history of Klal Yisrael after Golus, but let's think about the centuries upon centuries in which Klal Yisrael lived in Eretz Yisrael. From the time that Yoshua crossed the Yarden and the people with him, from then for the next four centuries plus until Golus Babel, there were plenty of suffering. Klal Yisrael endured a lot of suffering, even though they were in Eretz Yisrael. So you could say the following: that they deserve to be expelled from the land and exiled from the land because the condition was that they only have rights to the land if they fulfill the mitzvahs. Fine. That makes sense. But what about all the suffering that they endured? All the punishments that they experienced from the time they entered into the land until they were sent into Golus? We find they were punished many, many times. So as far as Golus is concerned, you know, there is a justification because they accepted the condition and therefore they deserve to be kicked out of the land. They don't deserve the land. But why should they suffer punishments for crimes over the course of this time? I mean, what happens to the modah that they gave at the time of Kafalei Marki Gigas? That's one possibility. Maybe God was punishing them in increments or so. It's trying to avoid the ultimate goals. But perhaps we could say something else. Let's go back to our parsha here in Ki Tova. We saw here in Chav Zayin, Pasuk Beis, Pasuk Gimel, etc., all the way to Pasuk Ches, that Hashem commands us to write the Torah on the stones. What does this signify? What's the importance of writing, inscribing the Torah on the stones? So if you take a look at the Ramban, which I have here on page 2 of your Mara Makomos page, the Ramban writes, Lefi Daiti. In my understanding, because he's focused here on Pasuk Gimel, Chav Zayin Gimel says, V'kasavti aleihem es kol divrei HaTorah hazos biavrecha leman asher tovo el haaretz. What's leman asher tovo el haaretz? Remez. There's a whole allusion here to l'chol divrei HaTorah yomar shetichtov halavonim kol divrei HaTorah hazos biavrechem biyad. And as soon as you cross the yad, inscribe the entire Torah on these havonim. And why? Ki bavur HaTorah bas hashava. This is an absolute declaration, a statement that because of the Torah and for the Torah, you enter into the land. Meaning, here is where I think you can put together the two Rambans, the Ramban and Seif in his Pirush on Masechta Shabbos, together with his Ramban and his Pirush on Torah, and they all are Ola B'Kanech, and he's saying the same thing, that the giving of the land, the entry into the land, the conquering of the nations of the land, is all conditional on the Torah itself. So basically, if you're talking about Jewish history, how many different times in Jewish history, I'm not talking about modern Jewish history, but I'm saying in ancient Jewish history, did we enter into the land and establish a Jewish commonwealth? Twice, correct? So the first was with Yoshua. And then, of course, at the time of David and Shlomo, they built the Beis HaMikdash. That lasts until the Golus Bavel. when we get exiled from the land because we did not fulfill the Torah. And then we have a 70-year period, and then we enter into the land a second time, which culminates with the second exile, which is called Golus Edom. Correct? Okay. Now, the Ramban in Parshas Bechukosai says that there are two Tochachos in the Torah. There's one in Parshas Bechukosai, and another one here in Parshas Kitov. Says the Ramban, this is world famous, that the first Tochacha is for Golus Bavel. The second Tochacha, that of here in Parshas Kitovo, is Golus Edom. So that now, when Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the people of Israel that they're commanded to set up the Torah inscribed on the Avonim when they enter into the land, which entry into the land is this? One or two? The first, correct? And Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that you're entering into the land now and you will commit yourself to the Torah, and there's a commitment of Bnei Yisrael at the time that they enter into the land of Eretz Yisrael. What kind of period of time is this 400 plus years of the first commonwealth, the Aliyah Rishona of Yoshua, and the settling of the land? This is called in the Sfarim He'aras Ponim, or Gilui Shechina, meaning Hashem reveals Himself. Hashem conquers the nations of the world in a miraculous way. It becomes Ish Tachas Gafno, Ish Tachas Te'eno. The people settle the land, they build the land, they establish a Beis HaMikdash. This is what we call a Kabbalah of Ha'oras Ponim, of Gilui Hashem. When does that period of Gilui Shamayim, Gilui Shechina terminate? With Golus Bavel. The moment that Klal Yisrael exiled from the land, now we go into a different period of Jewish history. And that's called Hester Ponim. It means the people of Israel live in Golus. They're dispersed in the land. In this case, they're in Paras. And at this point, Klal Yisrael say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what? You made a condition with us that we'll get the land and we'll observe your mitzvahs. But you know what? We accepted that condition because we're entering into the land of Eretz Zavas Chol Dvash at a period of Gilui Shechina, at a period in which God is revealed. We see Him everywhere. His protection is palpable, is tangible. That's when we accepted the Torah. It was worth it for us to accept the Torah and commit ourselves because we're living in the land of Israel with the protection of God. That's the Avonim and the Ksivas HaTorah upon these stones when they enter into the land. That represents the commitment of Klal Yisrael to take the Torah and enter into the land. Entering to the land means the revelation of Hashem, that close relationship of Gilui Shechina. That's when they accept the Torah. Now they get sent into Golus. Oh, now Klal Yisrael say, you know what, the deal is off. We're living Hester Ponim, there's no longer divine protection, Hashem is remote, He's not connected to us, there's no intimate relationship, we're out of here. We no longer commit ourselves to the Torah. Again, at this point, they can activate the Kaf Aleihem Har Kegiyus argument. You forced us to accept the Torah. Okay, when we entered into the land, we accepted the Torah willingly because it was worth it for us. We get the great gift of the land, which entails not only the land itself and the Eretz Zavas Chol Dvash, but everything that comes along with it. The Gilui Shechina, the being close to Hashem, the protection, the divine protection. But now that the divine protection is terminated, at this point, we now want to activate our right of Modah, because that the Kabbalah Satorah at Har Sinai was compulsory. We never accepted willingly. And what we willingly accepted the Torah at the time that we entered into the land because of the Gilui Shechina, now you're kicking us out of the land. We no longer want to accept the Torah. And therefore we don't have any rights to be punished. That's what the Ramban means in his Pirush on Masechta Shabbos, when he says, Mishagalu Masru Modal Adavar, when did they press the button of Modah? After they went into Golus. Because at this particular point, They no longer want the deal. Okay, when they were Nochli Eretz Yisrael, that's one thing. In that case, after the first Golus, right between first Golus and second Golus, during that 70-year period before Binyan Bayis Sheni, what happens? What great miracle happens?
Purim.
Oh, you know what Purim represents? Purim is a message to Klal Yisrael that even in Golus, I will afford you with divine protection. Even though it's Hester Panim, and you don't see the revealed hand of Hashem, because all of Purim is Hester Panim, nevertheless Hashem is there to divine, to present you, to protect you divinely. If that be the case, Klal Yisrael say we're willing to accept the Torah. Up until the first Golus, they accepted the Torah as a condition because it was a period of Gilui Shechina. And with the first Golus, they said, we're out of here, we don't want this Torah because we now are Bechinas Evet Shemachartim also. You sold us as Avadim. We no longer have divine protection. But when Hashem saved them from the Gzeres Haman at the time of Achashverosh, then they became aware of the fact that even in Hester Panim, Hashem is still there to afford them with divine protection. Then Hader Kiblu, they reaccepted the Torah B'Simcha B'Ratzon, and they were Mevatel L'Moda. They gave up the Moda. They no longer claimed Eved Shemachro Rabo is Klum Yesh L'Rabo Olav. Now there was a Gili of the Nes Purim, and that was the Bittul Moda, Kiblu Alehem, Masha Kiblu Kfar. It was now no longer Avadim, but it was Bebechinas Banim Atem Lashem Elokeichem. That Hashem will protect them, He's the Shomer Yisrael, even in Golus, because of His love of a father for a son. There's no period, there's no separation between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam, even when they go in Golus, and that engendered feelings of Ava, of love, in the lev of Klal Yisrael, that Hashem is protecting them like a father protects his son, with that sense of Ava, they were Mekabel Aleihem Es HaTorah, for all time, for all posterity, when they realize that Hashem is with them, even in Hester Panim, that's Hader Kiblu B'Meach HaShverish B'Simcha U'Beratzon. And Rabbosai, if we take this and put it back into our parsha, we now see two things that are going on in that parsha. We start with Perek Chavav, beginning with Tezayin, Yud Zayin, Yud Ches, Hashem Hemir Chayom, Lios Loliam Segula. This is a reference to the period of time in which Klal Yisrael enter into the land of Eretz Yisrael. They accept upon themselves the mitzvahs of Hashem. They were mekabel all the mitzvahs, and therefore Hashem hemir chayom, God has chosen you, Lios Oliam Segula. You are the Am Segula. Hashem says, I will give you love. I will shower upon you divine love and protection. You will enter into the land, but with the condition that you have now accepted upon yourself the Torah. And now, Vayitzav Moshe V'Ziknei Yisrael, so I'm Lema Shamaris HaMitzvah, you're entering into the land, I'm giving you the land. But you know why am I giving you the land? Pasuk Gimel, I'm giving you the land because Kasavti Aleihem Es Divrei HaTorah Zos B'Avrecha L'man Asher Tavo La'aretz. You want to go into the land and inherit the land of Eretz Ovis Chalvash, it's got to be on the condition that you will listen and you will heed and live up to the commitment of this condition. That's the condition. And they accepted it upon themselves, b'simcha, willingly. That's what the pasuk means. Hayom hazeh Hashem Elokech mitzavcha. And as Hashem hemarta hayom, you've accepted the Torah, as the Ramban says. Now we're ready for Eretz Yisrael. But then we get to round two. And round two is the beginning. Yeah, sure. Yeah, go ahead. I'm just finishing up in the next 2 minutes anyway, so you caught it. And now comes round two, which starts in Pasuk Tes. Vayidaber Moshe v'akon v'levim es kol Yisrael yemar haskeis u'shma Yisrael. And again, ayom hazeh niyeis olam Hashem. What is this second round? This is the second round to introduce the Brachos and Klolos. And the Brachos and Klolos, says the Ramban, is referring to Golus Edom. Edom, again, the Brachos of Klolos is again, as opposed to the Tochacha of the Chukosai, which is Golus Bavel, now we're in Golus Edom. Ah, this is already a whole new story. What does it mean, Hayom Azen Yesel Aram, that before the period of Golus, you accepted upon yourself a new commitment to serve Hashem and to observe His mitzvahs. This new commitment corresponds to Hadar Kiblu of Bimei HaKashverosh. Now that the first commitment, which was Leman Asher Tova La'aretz, because of the right of the first entry into Eretz Yisrael and that conditional gift, now that that's terminated because we were thrown into Golus, we need a new Kabbalah. We need a new acceptance of being the Am Hashem. Where is that new acceptance of being Am Hashem? We need a repeat performance of Hashem Hemircha Yom Leo Sloliam. That's when? That's at the time of Golus. That's at the time when they're about to enter into the period of Bayesheni, which will be followed by the Churban of Bayesheni at the hands of Edom and the Romans. All that, which is going to be foretold here in this Tochacha, in all the klolos here of Parshas Kisavo, although it has to be introduced, the introduction to that has to be a new Kabbalah of Klal Yisrael. Otherwise, these klolos are inappropriate. There's no reason why we have to suffer all these terrible klolos of Golos Edom. I mean, we're still suffering from Golos Edom even to this day. And the Holocaust is all part of Golos Edom. Why do we deserve all these klolos in Parshas Kisavo, which Ramban says is Golos Edom? The answer is before that Golos, and before we entered into the Eretz Yisrael during that 70-year period between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, we accepted the Torah with a new commitment. The first commitment was now null and void, because we made a modah, we activated the modah. We said, look, we don't want the Torah. It was forced upon us. We accepted it until, yeah, as long as there was Gilui Panim and Hashem was with us in Eretz Yisrael. Now there's Hester Panim, we're out of the land. It's an Evet Shenim Kal Yidei Rabba. We no longer are committed to that original Hamir Chayom. We need now a new Hamir Chayom. And without that new Hamir Chayom, we don't deserve at all to suffer the terrible klolos that you're about to give us here in Parshas Ki Tavo of Golus Edom. And I want to just conclude. I found something here in the Shalmei Nachum of Rab Nachum Barovsky. With that, I'll end. He writes, he says, Tam Kfelus Hadvarim. He says, why is there Kfelus Hadvarim? The answer is that now that the Brachos are closed, the Parshas Ki Tavo addressed the period of time after Klal Yisrael had already accepted the Torah Mirotz under the time of Achashverosh before the second bias, that Kabbalah now is a brand new Kabbalah. It's a Kabbalah of Hester Panim, that we will observe the mitzvahs and we're committed to the mitzvahs even after Golos, even in Golos, even in Hester Panim. And now Hashem says, well look, there'll be Bracha and there'll be Klala.
A different ballgame.
It's a whole new ballgame with new rules. So you need a new Hashem Hamir Chayom Lios La'am. You need Ayom HaZen Yesalam. But he adds a very interesting point. He says, in the first round, which was in Perek Chavav, it says, Li'am Segula, in Pasuk Yud Ches. Now, in the second round, when we get to Perek Chav Zayin, there it says, Ni'esalam. It doesn't say the word Segula. And the answer is because the Am Segula is when Klal Yisrael are in Eretz Yisrael. That's when they reach the highest level. They are exalted amongst all the nations. They're in Eretz Yisrael. There's Gili Panim. That's Klal Yisrael as the beloved son of God. But now we're in a state of Hester Panim in Golus. Oh, Hashem says, look, Niyesalam, you know, you've committed yourself, but I can't put you on that madrig of Am Segula, because at this point, you know, you're in Golos, and this is the Golos of Parshas Ki Tavo. There's almost a Shem Gnai here that you're called an Am. You're not called an Am Segula, but an Am. That goes Minakotza Lakotza. And there are two different essences of Klal Yisrael. There's one essence of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, that's the Am Segula definition of Klal Yisrael, and that's Hashem Emir Chayom, which is the first round, and then There's a second round, which again requires the chizuk of the zekedim, like in the first round, to be mekayim Torah mitzvahs in galus at the time of Hester Ponim, and he writes on his will that will be zocha speedily in our time to see again the reflection and expression of Am Sgula when we will establish the third commonwealth back here in Eretz Yisrael, the time of Binyan Bayis Shlishi, and then it'll be a revelation of Hashem, a gilui, it'll be v'simcha gedola. We will be clearly, and all the nations will agree, and they will recognize our greatness as the Am Sgula. B'mehera v'yaveinu, amen.